The question today is, what is the doctrine of TULIP? TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, really that doctrine, and a lot of people are really embracing a doctrine of TULIP whenever it's not really a good thing to do as far as that. I love the local church and the doctrine of the local church, but I must not worship the local church. I need to worship the God of the local church. I use a King James Bible. And I would never use anything else, but I don't worship the Bible. I worship the God of the Bible. And then this thing of the doctrine of the TULIP, it's a phrase that people have coined. It's what they take acrostic, they call it, where they take a word like TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, and they put on that some words that identify with that. And so therefore, I do not worship the doctrine, any doctrine. I worship the God of the doctrine if it's a good doctrine. Now, the doctrine of the TULIP has been carried to the extremes to where it becomes fatalism, and it's not really correct. I'll say that because, you see, I dealt yesterday with what is Calvinism. Calvinism was the one who formulated this doctrine of the TULIP, and as a result, he had to put a word in there. Now, what that TULIP stands for, according to what some writers say, and you read different writers, they've changed it over the years and things have changed, but the word TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, if you put words with that, that acrostic, it means T for total depravity of man, the U is unconditional election, and the L is limited atonement, and the I is irresistible grace, and the P is perseverance of the saints. So that's what they mean when you hear the doctrine of the TULIP. They're saying that man is totally depraved and there's unconditional election, there's limited atonement, there's irresistible grace and perseverance of the saints. Now, if you let me define those words, I could define them in my own way and I could say, hey, I believe that too. And don't get me wrong, I don't follow the doctrine of the TULIP. I am not a Calvinist, nor am I a hyper-Calvinist, which is one that's totally in the ditch in fatalism and says, any, many, miny, mo, you hell, you heaven. As I explained yesterday, the reason people get in this ditch of Calvinism and hyper-Calvinism is because they grew up in the easy believism circles, and they maybe even pastored churches of easy believism nature and filled their churches full of lost people, because easy believism does not give one a possession. It only lets them make a profession, and many of them going to say one day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, have cast out devils in thy name, have done many wonderful works in thy name? And you realize something, that's not right. But yet they found out it didn't work, and they said, that don't work. It'd be like us driving down the road with the old truck I had years ago, and you muddy roads and ditches on both sides. You get in one ditch, you're going to throw it up in second and try to get out of that ditch, and if you're not careful before you get it in control, you're going to get in the other ditch. And that's what's happened. And they didn't stop in the middle of the road in liberty and find out salvation's of the Lord, and just find out the truths of the God's Word and the doctrines of God's Word. But they got over in the ditch and said, yeah, some to hell and some to heaven. They used words such as election, and election is a good word. But your Bible says we're elected in Christ. We're chosen in Christ. God chose His Son. He says, if you get in His Son, it's not your work, it's God's work that gets you saved and in Christ. But you're in Christ, you're chosen. Then they use the word predestination. And people talk about, well, they're predestinated to hell and they're predestinated to heaven. God never used that in the Bible that way. The word predestination is only used three times in the Bible. I mean, you can look it up if you want to. Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 5, He said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, somebody says, well, that us means the elect, and that's true. It does mean the saved, the saints of God that you've talked about here, but it's those that's already come and are in Christ. We're in Christ. God chose His Son. He chose us in Christ, and God never used the word predestination to deal with a lost man. It only deals with what He's going to do, what He's predetermined, what He's foreordained He's going to do when a person is saved. He said, I'm going to place you as an adopted son right there in verse number 5. I'm going to place you as an adult son. You're going to share in the inheritance as just as much as the natural born son would. That's what we talk about, adoption. You see, when a person is adopted in a family, the natural born son can be disinherited, but not the adopted one. So you're guaranteed to receive an inheritance. You'll be an heir and a joint heir with Christ, who is really like the natural born son. I know he wasn't born natural, but you understand the application there. That's who he's talking about. We're going to be heirs together with him. And God said, I predetermined I'm going to place you as an adult son. If you get in Christ, then it's not your getting, okay? It's his work that puts you in Christ. Then you are going to be placed as an adult son, predestinated to that. It has nothing to do with a lost man. And then he said in verse number 11 of Ephesians 1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You see, we're predestinated. That really says we're predestinated to be his inheritance. Now, we have an inheritance, but we're predestinated to be his inheritance, or we're his heritage. God said, I'm going to place you there, not for a lost man, but for a saved man. And then we find also in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 30, verse number 29, where he says, after he works all things together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose, he said there in verse number 29, for whom he did foreknow. You cannot leave out foreknowledge of God in the doctrine of predestination or in the doctrine of election. You can't leave it out. Now, the foreknowledge has nothing to do with, in other words, doesn't mean that God put something in man to move. Listen, we don't have a spark of divinity in us. There's nothing good in us. Now, I'll explain more about that later. But God knows everything. He knows the end before the beginning. So therefore, God in foreknowledge works all things together for good. And he said, for those he foreknew was going to receive Christ as Lord. And it's not man's doing, it's his doing. He said he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, he said, I predestinated you, I foreordained you. I predetermined that you, if you're saved, and when you're saved, you're going to be made like my son. In other words, that's why he told the Pharisees, cleanse first that which is inside, that the outside might be clean also. Now, you can't cleanse yourself from sin, but when the work of God cleanses you from sin, then God's going to clean the outside up. And he's predestinated you to clean you up, make you like his son. It'll take all the days of our life, and we're going to have a glorified body to be like his son, but we're going to be made like that. We're going through, is what he said. But predestination has nothing to do with a lost man. And yet, the people who get into this doctrine of Tulip, all they want to talk about is predestination and election. They want to make it a point of fellowship. I don't tell you, Christ is the one we need to fellowship around. It's not some doctrine. It's the God of the doctrine. It's the Christ of the doctrine. And therefore, they want to fellowship around that doctrine that's not really scriptural in its nature, the way it's defined by most people. You see, many of the people who believe in this doctrine of Tulip, they believe that, well, I hope I'm one of the elect. I talked to a man one day, and he said, I hope I'm one of the elect. I've got news for you. And I told him, if you don't have a time and a place where the Holy Ghost of God has done a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction in you, and that's complete in the area of sin, righteousness, and judgment, John 16, 8 through 11, then, and you've not had repentance granted you and faith given to you, or you can obey the gospel by repenting and believing, if you don't have that time and a place in this life while you've got breath in your body where you became a child of God, then you're not going to be one of the elect out yonder in the end. If your hope is waiting to see what you are in the end, you're depending on your works. You're depending on your doctrine. You're depending on something besides the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and the finished work of the Holy Spirit in your heart to get there. And it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. And all people are in a mess today. We're in a mess today just following some doctrine. You see, the doctrine of Tulip leaves out man's responsibility. Man's got a responsibility to move toward God when God moves toward you. And you'll not move toward him till he moves toward you. You've got to be awakened. You've got to turn from the broad way to the narrow way. And it's not your doing. It's when God gives you light and gives you the ability to respond to that light. And every man has light, by the way. He has light of conscience and light of creation, Romans 1, 19 and 20. And if man will respond to that light, God will give him more light to come on down the road of light. And he'll have to say, he'll not take any credit for himself. He'll not say, look what I've done. No, no, no. He'll say, look what the Lord's done. It's grace, grace, grace all the way. And so as a result, you've got to respond to that. That's your responsibility. Now, there's some of the old writers such as Spurgeon, he said on the outside, it said whosoever will, outside of the door, but inside it says the elect of God, and that's true. You see, and so it's not fatalism that we need to stop at. Now, just because the Calvinists, so-called, have some truth, that's fine. That's well and that's good. As I said yesterday, you take a watch that's broken, it's right two times a day, but I don't wear the watch. So I don't wear the label Calvinism, even though people call me a Calvinist, because I believe salvation is the Lord. And the way I preach, they'll think that I'm a Calvinist. In fact, I had one man write me for order some material, and then next day or two, he said, if you hadn't sent it, don't send it yet. And I wrote him back on the email and said, why? He's in another country. And I said, why? He said, because I see you don't believe the doctrine of the tulip. And I wrote him back and I said, what is the doctrine of the tulip? You tell me what it is and let me know what about it. Well, as I begin to look at it, he did talk about the T, total depravity. He talked about the U, the unconditional election, and the L for limited atonement, and the I for irresistible grace, and the P for perseverance of the saints. I said, I can understand some of those. You let me define them, and I could probably say I believe that. But now, what one of them I really have a real problem with is unconditional election. And I know that sometimes over in England, many of them there say that it's unmerited election. Unmerited election. Well, that's good. I have no problem with that. Because that means that's by grace is what it amounts to. And this fellow that was in this other country, when I talked to him back, I said, explain to me what unconditional election is. And he said, basically, when he wrote me back, he said, basically, it just means it's all of grace. I said, hallelujah, I can handle that. Because it is all of grace. But yet, when they go to define it, they want to say different things that's contrary to the Word of God. So I want to try to deal tomorrow in the radio broadcast on what is the doctrine of TULIP and break down these five acrostic words, if you please, and try to define them and try to look at them in view of what the Bible says. It's not what man says, it's what the Bible said. And what bothers me is many who grew up in the ditch of liberalism and a ditch of easy believism said they were saved there, and then they changed later to the truth. God said that you come out of truth if you've really been saved. So you'll come out of those things if you're saved and walk in the middle of the road in truth, because the Holy Spirit will guide you in truth. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Astor Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.